الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله رب العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم وغاصب حقوقهم من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى لقاء يوم الدين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: يا فاطمة، كل عين باكية يوم القيامة إلا عين بكت على مصاب الحسين، فإنها ضاحكة مستبشرة بنعيم الجنة. صلوات. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says to his daughter Fatima, every eye shall weep and tear on the day of judgment except the eye that is tearing on the atrocities and the musibah of Hussein ibn Ali. For that eye shall be given glad tidings of heaven. It shall see heaven. It shall be given glad tidings of heaven. It shall be smiling on the day of judgment. Mu'mineen, whenever and wherever we see anything which amuses us, anything which amazes one, the skies, the mountains, the gardens, the sea, anything that amuses us inside our own bodies, the eyes with which we see, the ears with which we hear, the mouth with which we speak, and the understanding that we have after listening to anything. The technology in this world, the child growing from small to becoming a youth, to becoming an old person. In Surah Yasin it is mentioned, وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسُهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Those who we give age to, we create a reverse in his creation. Still, you don't have any understanding, Allah says. Whenever we see anything which amuses us in this world, we have to remember one thing. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is overpowering everything. He is the most powerful thing in this world. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To him we belong and unto him we shall return. There are no two ways about it. Human being is in a constant journey to go towards perfection. A constant journey, tiring journey to just go towards perfection. to go and meet the absolute beauty. Because naturally, whenever a person sees any type of beauty, he is amused by that. And man likes beauty. As people say that if you want something, aim for something big, you will get at least halfway there. When we all love beauty, then think about the absolute beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about the absolute wonders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a nature of every human being to go and find philosophical thinkings, philosophical answers to the questions that one has. But if we return back to basic, when we go to our own origin, we shall find nothing but beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to quote to you a hadith of Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam. Before I do that, it is all clear that Allah has created the heavens for us. He has created the hell to dissuade us to go to bad deeds. He has created the heaven for me and you. Otherwise, there was no need for him to create it. He gave us the free will so we can choose to go to heaven. And in doing so, he has invited us towards heaven. The love that Allah has for me and you is non-comprehensible. Like, we cannot comprehend it. We cannot even understand it. We cannot even begin to understand that the love that Allah has for us is plenty. Allah says in Hadith al-Qudsi, he says, Yabna Adam, stand for me and I shall walk to you. Stand for me and I shall walk to you. If you walk to me, I shall run to you. Subhanallah. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is calling each one of us to just go close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to just go look at the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah cannot be seen. But as I said, all things that amuse one is nothing but the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is the beauty of Allah. Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam says, that when a person has infinite love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he reaches a stage. He reaches a status. فَإِذَا بَلَغَ هَذِهِ الْمَنْزِلَةِ. If he reaches that status, جَعَلَ شَهْوَتَهُ وَمُحَبَّتَهُ فِي خَالِقِهِ. All his desires, all his love is for none other but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is for none other but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا فَعَلَ ذَٰلِكَ نَزَلَ الْمَنْزِلَةَ الْكُبْرَى. If that is what the person has done, that all his love, all his desires is nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reaches a very elevated status and a position. فَعَايَنَ رَبَّهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. Thus he finds God in his own heart, in his own soul. وَوَرَثَ الْحِكْمَةَ بِغَيْرِ مَا وَرِثَهُ الْحُكَمَاءُ. And those who sincerely obtain, those wise people, pious people, who obtain wisdom, they obtain it from hikm, they obtain it from wisdom. وَوَرَثَ الْعِلْمِ بِغَيْرِ مَا وَرِثَهُ الْعُلَمَاءُ. And he gets knowledge not just the way the person goes and studies ilm and then he gets knowledge. No. وَوَرِثَ الصِّدْقَ بِغَيْرِ مَا وَرِثَهُ الصِّدِّيقُونَ. And he gets sincerity not the way you get, me and you get sincerity by going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, إِنَّ الْحُكَمَاءَ وَرِثُ الْحِكْمَةَ بِالصَّمْتِ. The pious, wise people have obtained wisdom by keeping quiet. وَإِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ وَرِثُ الْعِلْمَ بِالطَّلَبِ. And the scholars have obtained knowledge by going to study. They have gone to study. وَلَكِنْ. Then he says, but those who are neither hakims, neither wise people, neither they are ulama, just local, normal people, Siddiqoon, what they call, sincere people. وَرِثُوا الصِّدْقَ بِالْخُشُوعِ وَطُولِ الْعِبَادَةِ. They obtain the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They obtain sincerity by humbleness and by long-term worship. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wa salam says, and only an absolute lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can utter such sentences and words. He says to Allah, مَا عَبَدْتُكَ طَمْعًا لِجَنَّتِكَ مَا عَبَدْتُكَ طَمْعًا لِجَنَّتِكَ وَلَا خَوْفًا مِنْ نَارِكَ بَلْ وَجَدْتُكَ أَهْلًا لِلْعِبَادَةِ. Subhanallah. He says, oh Allah, I am not worshipping you because I want your heaven. Neither am I worshipping you because I'm scared of your hell. I am worshipping you simply because I find you ahl, I find you eligible, I find you worthy to be worshipped. That means the worship of Ali ibn Abi Talib is the worship for Allah only. It is a worship to get close to Allah. It is a worship to only love Him and nothing else. Allah says in the Holy Quran, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. O mankind, do you assume and do you think that you have been created just for a fun, just for game, just for no reason, and that you shall not return back to us, to Allah? Is this what you think? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created men and jinn, but except so that they should worship me. He is the most powerful Allah. He has created us for a purpose. He has made us for a purpose. We are getting deviated from this purpose. We are so much attached to this materialistic world that it becomes difficult for us. Recite one salawat, please. Another salawat, please. It becomes difficult for us to concentrate on the origin that we come from. It becomes difficult for us to understand the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A rose garden. I was in a rose garden once. A beautiful rose garden. I wanted to pick a rose. I got scared the owner would see me. Suddenly he tells me, what is a rose? Take the whole garden. The only thing is I have to build my relationship with that person to tell me such a statement, to tell me what is a rose. Take the whole garden. Allah says, and this is in a word of Rumi, He says, you are in love with a state. You are in love with your state. You don't love me. Allah says, you are in love with your state. You don't love me. You love me just to obtain that state. Just to obtain that state. In our 24 hours, and this is a thinking that Allah speaks with a person. There is a conversation between the two. And God says, tell me, do you love me? And the human being says, of course, you've created me. I love you too much. I love you to bits. I can die for you. Oh, yes, you can. Right, let's have a discussion. God says, tell me. I'll tell you what I see in you. Every morning when you wake up, first of all, the power and the strength of opening your eyes, I give you. You wake up, you go to the bathroom, you brush your teeth, you come downstairs, you wear your clothes, you go have breakfast. The rizq I have given you, the power of doing everything that you are doing, I have given you. You look at your child with love, you sit with them, you play with them, you look at your wife, talk to her, look about the daily news, what's happening in the world. I see you. I give you power to do all these things. I give you strength to do all these things. And then I think to myself, yes, he will come to me and speak to me for a little while. Allah is waiting for us. He'll come to me and speak to me for a little while. But still, I see you are busy. So I say, okay, go and earn your living. In fact, I have already written down what you are going to get during the day. During the course of the day, I have already written what you're going to get. So you go, you fight in the office, you tell people off, you do this, you do that, whatever you do. I say, right, maybe lunchtime you'll come to me. And you'll tell me, Allah, thank you for giving me the strength of talking to people, of eating food, thank you, of getting the sustenance to my family. But you don't come. I say, fine, he's busy. So I give you a little more time. Qadha becomes at 6 o'clock, right? 5 o'clock. So I say, okay, from 12:30 to 5 o'clock, I'll see you will come to me again. But then you become busy in the meetings, you become busy in the work. Suddenly, night falls. You say, oh my God, I've done qadha, the namaz. It's okay, I'll pray at home. You go home. I'm still waiting for you, my dear. I am still waiting for you. The same thing happens. You go in the evening. You go home, the children surround you. And they should, why not? Bring them something, make them happy. It's a worship, yes, why not? But then, between me and you, I still know and I still feel that yes, maybe you'll come to me. He knows everything though, but he's talking to a person now. Eventually, you watch the TV, you look at the TV, you see whatever you want to see, suddenly you start yawning. You start yawning and you are very tired. And you say, I want to retire to bed. You go to the bed and you sleep. And then you say, you love me? Allah says, Ya ibn Adam, kadhaba man za'ama annahu yuhibbuni. Fa'idha jannahu al-layla nama anni. Alaysa kullu muhib yuhib khalwata habibihi. Allahu Akbar. Ya ibn Adam, he who claims to love me is not true. In fact, he's used liar here, and I wouldn't like to use that word because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the state of the hearts. He says, that person who claims to be loving me is a liar. Why? Because when night falls on him, he sleeps. Is it not now? This is something that every married person at least should understand. At least every married person should understand. Is it not so that a lover would like to be with his loved one for a moment in private, for a moment, even to say thank you or even to utter the words, I love you? No, still you say you love me, Ya ibn Adam, O son of Adam, this heaven is yours, this world is at your service, this earth is at your service, everything is at your service. Just take it. Go back to basic. Don't look at the future because the future doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. Don't look at the past because the past is gone. What you see is now. What is happening now. And that is, you will go further. Because if you think about tomorrow, who knows I'm going to walk out of the door just now? Who knows I'm going to reach home just now after majlis? Who knows? Nobody. The future simply doesn't exist. There is no future. There is hope. And Allah has given us this mercy of hoping for tomorrow. Of hoping for tomorrow. But tomorrow does not exist. Allah says, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. We shall show the signs in the horizons. Allah says, we shall show this human being the signs, my signs, our signs in the horizons. Yes? And in themselves, until they know that Allah is the truth. That Allah is the truth. The journey to go and look for God seems difficult. It seems thorny. But it is not. The only reason it is not is, I say, because of the love that Allah has created in the heart. If we can love our children, we can love our Allah. If we can love our wives, we can love our Allah. If we can love our majalises, we can love our Allah. If we can love anything in this world, we can love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or can't we? Yes, we can. The only thing is, one has to decide in oneself, yes, I want to take the journey to go and know Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. You know, Allah says, oh my slave, follow me, obey me, worship me, annihilate yourself in me. So much so that there are times when I say to things, be, and they become. When you lose yourself in me, when you annihilate yourself in me, O son of Adam, there will come a time when you shall say to something, be, and it will be. You will see things that others don't see. You will hear things that others don't hear. You will do things that others don't do. Everything and anything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what we see the people of Karbala teaching us. In Ziyarat-e Waritha, haven't we come across this? Ashhadu annaka aqamta as-salat wa atayta az-zakat wa amarta bil ma'ruf wa nahayta 'anil munkar wa 'abadta Allah hatta ataaka al-yaqin aw wa ata'ta Allah hatta ataaka al-yaqin. In Allah, yes, we bear witness, O Imam, that you have paid your zakat, you have prayed your salat, and you have worshipped your Lord with love, so much so that He has given you the state of surety in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That yes, my existence is nothing without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My belongings are nothing without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything in this world belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can do anything with you and me. Just a tsunami can cause tremendous disasters. For me and you, yes. It may cause disasters. For Allah, it is His game. It is His pitch. He will do whatever He wants to do with it. Me, for once, I don't have the right to act God and say, oh, God must have done this, or God must have thought of this, thus He has created this disaster. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is best in His mercy. Why He has done this, He knows best. And we find that Imam Hussein alayhi salatu was salam, praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in the state of enmity, even in the state of swords and arrows coming towards him. You know, Layla and Majnu is a story which I don't know is true or not, but whatever, but there are lessons to learn from that. Majnun was so much lost in Layla, so much lost, that one day he was asked by someone, is Ali the first Khalifa or Abu Bakr? He was asked this question, so he said, Layla. He said, Layla is the first Khalifa. Subhanallah, you really are Majnun. But there is something to learn there. He had annihilated himself in the love of Layla. Thus he could see nothing but Layla. Nothing but Layla. If we annihilate ourselves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we have the courage, if we have the mercy of Allah to annihilate ourselves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we shall see nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even removing of a pebble from the path will be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For nobody else. And another person was praying salat. Majnun passes there in front of him. He passes by. So the Mawlana stops the prayer, he breaks the prayer. He says, you madman, can't you see I'm praying here? And you are passing in front of me? Another lesson we learn. He says, yes, but tell me one thing, Sheikh. Oh, Sheikh, tell me one thing. When I, in the love of Layla, could not see that you are praying, how could you, in the love of Allah, in the love of your Creator, see that I was passing? How could you see that? That means Imam Ali alayhi salatu was salam, if you remember that incident, salawat please. The incident of Imam Ali, when he had an arrow on his leg, they went to take it out, it was painful. So the Prophet said, wait, hold on. Let him go to the prayer mat. Let him go and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let him connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then remove the arrow. See, will he even mourn or will he even move? He won't. And thus they waited until he went to his salat, place of salah. He prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Akbar. And he is lost now. He is outside the prison of existence. He's away. He is not in the prison of this existence anymore. He is flying. And he doesn't even know where he is. But he is with his Allah. He is with his loved one. And they go and remove his arrow. A very simple thing to do is for us to understand the worth of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By that, everything else shall be easy. Everything else. Running of the household will become easy. Running of the businesses will become easy. Running of institutions will become easy. Running of anything and everything will become easy just because I have brought and annihilated myself in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see, don't we? There are those people who love Allah so much so that they have the audacity of speaking to Allah in this manner. And see this dua, Abu Hamd al-Thumali. They say, Ya Allah, in adkhaltani an-nar, la ukhbiranna ahla an-nar bi muhabbatik. Subhanallah. He says, Oh Allah, if you put me in the fire of hell, I shall inform the people of hell how much I love you. And then the audacity that one can create in talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Ya Allah, Ya Ilahi, إن أدخلتني النار ففي ذلك سرور عدوك. Oh Allah, if you put me in the fire of hell, in that your enemies will become happy. Just imagine this. And who can do this dua? Just the one who has an intimate relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not everybody. He says, if you put me in the fire of hell, your enemies will become happy. وإن أدخلتني الجنة ففي ذلك سرور نبيك. And if you put me in the heaven, in that there is the happiness of your prophet. وأنا أعرف أن سرور نبيك أحب إليك. And I know that the happiness of your prophet is more favorable to you than the happiness of your enemy. Who can do this dua? The dua that we recite, the dua yastashir. Look at the dua yastashir. Look at the dua Abu Hamd al-Thumali. These are the duas which can take someone to God and understand the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only the people who love Allah can do that. When the time of my separation comes, don't say what a separation, for it is time for me to meet my Creator. For it is time for me to meet my Creator. Now that you have seen my descent, do see my rising. For which seed have you seen go under the earth and fail to grow up again? Which seed? These were the seeds of Hussein ibn Ali that he put in Karbala. These were the seeds in the name of Qasim, Aun, Muhammad, Ali, Akbar. He put them in the earth. They descended in the earth only to rise again and to show us a new world and to show us the world of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to show us the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find the son of Hussein ibn Ali, Janab Ali Akbar, looks at the terrible state in the tents. He looks at his father. He looks at his uncles. He looks, the Sahabas are all gone. They are all dead. The enemies are beating the drums. They want people to come out for war. Yet, there is nothing. Ali Akbar goes to the father and says, Father, I am your son. I should be the first one amongst the Bani Hashim to go to the battlefield after the Sahabas. After the companions, I should be the first one to go to the battlefield. Imam Hussein looks at him and says, "My son Akbar, only if you were a father you would have realized what is going through my heart now. Only if you were a father. My son, it is not easy for me at all to give you the permission to go to the battlefield. It is not easy. It is difficult. However, son, go and seek permission from your mother and your aunt." Ali Akbar goes to the tent and he sees Zainab sitting there. He looks at Zainab and says, "Oh aunt, oh auntie, the time has come now for me to go and save and lay my life for Islam and lay my life for Hussein and my father." Zainab looks at Ali Akbar and says, "My son, you know, whenever we missed your grandfather, whenever we missed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever we missed him, we used to look at your face. For the people of Medina knew and the people of Medina said that whenever we missed the Holy Prophet, we used to look at the face of Ali Akbar. And we used to look at the beautiful face of Ali Akbar because it resembled the Prophet's face so much. How can the Muslims look at the face of Ali Akbar and attack this man when it resembled the Holy Prophet's?" He says, "But auntie, I need to go. I need to go to the battlefield. But I wish to tell you one thing, oh aunt. My mother cannot take this. She is not as courageous as you are. I request you to hold her with you and make her be patient when I am gone, oh aunt. Make her be patient." Bibi Zainab looks at Ali Akbar and says, "Yes, Akbar, go and seek permission from your mother now." He goes to the mother, and this I would ask to the heart of the mother. Is it easy for a mother to part with a son, with a young son to go, knowing that he is not going to come back? All of us here have children. When our children delay in coming home, we panic. This child is now going forever. He is going to the swords. He goes to the mother and says, "Mother, I need your permission to go to the battlefield." Umm Layla looks at Akbar and says, "Oh my son, I always thought that you were going to be my support in my old age, oh my son, but it's not going to be this." She says, "Yes, my son, I cannot allow you to go. How can I allow you to go?" Ali Akbar looks at the mother and says, "Oh mother, the time has come now for me to go. My thirst has no meaning now. My hunger has no meaning now. I just want and go to meet my creator. I want to lay my life for Hussein. I want to lay my life for Islam." They kept quiet. Ali Akbar walks to the father, Imam Hussein. He goes to the father and says, "Father, I have secured the permission of Zainab and my mother. Father, I have. I need your permission now." The father looks at Ali Akbar and says, "Yes, son. But whenever I used to miss my grandfather, I used to look at your face and I used to feel content. But Akbar, who am I going to see now?" He goes inside the room, takes the amama and the turban of the Holy Prophet and puts it on Akbar's head. And says, "Yes, Akbar, here is the sword. Mount your horse and go towards the battlefield." Ali Akbar, the moment he is going to the mount, he sees someone tugging the robe from down. As he looks down, he sees the four-year-old sister Sakina. She tells him, "Akbar, my dear brother, whoever has gone to the battlefield from morning has not come out again alive. Please don't go, my brother, please don't." Ali Akbar picked up Sakina. When Imam Hussein saw this scene, he understood the pain Akbar was going through. He went and took Sakina and said, "My dear son, move, go to the battlefield." Just as someone takes a sacrificial lamb in Mina, this was the exact state of the grandson of the Holy Prophet. Akbar is going and the father is going behind him. For a long distance, Akbar is going and the father is going. To that, Akbar turns back and says, "Father, go back to the tents. Let me go and deal with this army." He goes forward, he goes and meets the army of the enemies. He implores them and he tells them what they are doing is wrong. What they are doing is going to get them nowhere but to the hell of fire. To no avail. Suddenly one single combat starts. They start fighting. Ali Akbar kills a lot of enemies. He kills a lot of them. But then people attack him from all sides. Some throws arrows, some throw spears. To this, Ali Akbar is now wounded already. But in the tents, the mother is praying. Oh, the one who brought Yusuf back to Yaqub, oh, the one who brought Ibrahim back to Ismail, back to Hajara, bring my Akbar back to me. Bring my Akbar back to me. Ali Akbar, it was the answer of the prayer that he came back to the tents and he went and he said to his father, "Oh father, this is the battle I have fought, but father, there is no water in the tents and it is very difficult for me to fight. Only if I would have had little water, I would have fought these people to death." Imam Hussein looks at Ali Akbar and says, "My son, there is no water. Yes, there is no water. But take your tongue and put it in my tongue. Maybe it'll ease your thirst." When Ali Akbar puts his tongue in the tongue of Hussein, he looks, it is drier than his tongue. He takes it out and says, "Father, I will not embarrass you anymore by asking for water." Now the second parting was even more difficult than the first one. Akbar mounts the horse again. He goes to the battlefield. He fights a gallant battle, but eventually they surround him. One of the munafiqeen and the kafirs throws and strikes a blow on Akbar, and he strikes a spear right on his chest. When this happens, Ali Akbar falls on the ground and calls the father and says, "Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Please accept my final salutations, O my father." Ali Akbar, the light of Hussein ibn Ali, is on the floor. Imam Hussein rushes towards the battlefield. He falls, he stands up again. He falls, he stands up again. He goes, eventually he finds the body of Janabi Akbar alayhi salatu wasalam. He goes, he picks the body of Akbar. He sees that there is a spear in his chest. He sees there is a spear in the chest and he says, "Akbar, ala dunya ba'daka al'afa," or "My son, the world has no meaning after you now. You have departed, you are departing from this world. It has no meaning now. The light of my eye is disappearing, Akbar. I can see no more. I can see no more." Abbas comes behind with Janabi Hussein, Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. He looks at the scene and says, "Mawla, it is very difficult to see a young son dying, isn't it? It is very difficult. But I am still alive to take you back to the tents, oh my master." But Hussein says, "Abbas, don't let me take my son myself, for this may be the final farewell that I am doing to my son." And thus he brings the body of Ali Akbar back to the tents. And he goes and he tells Zainab, "Zainab, take care of Layla. She cannot see. She cannot see what has happened to Ali Akbar." Azizan-e-Girami, ye manzar hai Karbala mein Hussein ibn Ali ka. Ladla beta Ali Akbar ja raha hai Hussein ke paas aake kehta hai, baba maktal ki taraf jane ki ijazat de dijiye, baba ab kuch nahi baki raha, baba mujhe maktal ki taraf jana hai." Hussein ne Ali Akbar ko dekh ke kaha, beta kaash tum baap hote, tumhe bhi pata hota ke bete ko maktal mein bhejne ka kya hota hai, tumhe bhi pata chalta. Ali Akbar, jao apni phupi amma se aur apni maa se ijazat le lo. Akbar khayme mein aate hain, Zainab ko dekhte hain, Zainab ko kehte hain, phupi amma, meri maa mein itni taqat nahi hai ki wo seh sake ki meri judai. Meri maa mein wo taqat nahi hai phupi amma, jab main chala jaun to meri maa ko sambhalna, meri maa ko sambhalna. Phupi amma ne kaha, "Haan beta Akbar, jao apni maa se ijazat le lo. Kis maa ka dil chahe, kis maa ka dil taiyar ho apne bete ko maktal ki taraf bhejne ke liye." Magar Akbar jab Layla ke paas jaake kehte hain, "Madar-e-Ghirami,
اب وہ وقت آ گیا ہے، نانا رسول اللہ ہمارا انتظار کر رہے ہیں، اماں اجازت دے دیجئے کہ میں مقتل کی طرف جاؤں، ماں کیا کہے، خاموش بیٹھی ہیں۔ اتنے میں علی اکبر حسین کے پاس جا کے کہتے ہیں، بابا بابا پھوپھی اماں نے تو اجازت دے دی ہے، مگر ماں نے بھی اجازت دے دی ہے، مگر ان کی اجازت خاموشی میں مجھے ملی ہے۔ حسین ابن علی نے کہا، ہاں بیٹا، اپنے نانا رسول کا امامہ لے کے سر پہ رکھا، گھوڑے پہ سوار ہوئے علی اکبر، میدان کی طرف گئے۔ میدان کی طرف جانا تھا، کافی لڑکے لڑ لڑ کے اشقیا کو واصل نار کیا، واصل جہنم کیا۔ یہاں پہ خیمے میں زینب اور ام لیلہ دعا کر رہی ہے، یا راد یوسف الی یعقوب، یا راد دا اسماعیل الی ہاجر، رد علی ولدی علی اکبر، رد علی ولدی علی اکبر۔ اے مالک، جس نے یوسف کو یعقوب کی طرف لوٹایا، جس نے ہاجرہ کو اسماعیل لوٹایا، اے مالک میرے اکبر کو میرے پاس لوٹا دو۔ یہ دعا کا نتیجہ تھا کہ اکبر خیمے میں آئے، بابا سے ملے، بابا سے کہا، بابا میری لڑائی دیکھی، مگر اگر تھوڑا سا پانی مل جائے بابا تو میں اور زیادہ لڑوں۔ بابا نے کہا، بیٹا اکبر، آج تین دن سے پانی نہیں ہے بیٹا، بیٹا مگر تمہاری زبان میری زبان میں ڈالو، شاید اس سے تم کو کچھ حوصلہ ہو، شاید اس سے تمہیں کچھ آرام آئے۔ جب اکبر نے اپنی زبان بابا کی زبان میں ڈالی تو دیکھا کہ بابا کی زبان زیادہ سوکھی تھی۔ اکبر نے زبان نکال کے کہا، بابا خدا حافظ، بابا خدا حافظ۔ دوسری خدا حافظ بہت ہی مشکل تھی، بہت ہی کٹھن تھی، مگر علی اکبر گھوڑے پہ سوار ہو کے مقتل کی طرف دوبارہ گئے، کافی منافقوں کو واصل نار کیا، مگر بالآخر دھوکے کے ساتھ ایک کافر منافق آ کے اپنے گرز کو لے کر، تازیانہ لے کر، برچھی لے کر اکبر کے سینے پہ بالکل دے ماری۔ جب اکبر کے سینے میں برچھی آئی، اکبر زمین پہ گرے اور بابا کو پکارا، بابا میرا آخری سلام ہو، میرا آخری سلام قبول کرنا۔ جب حسین نے یہ صدا سنی، آنکھ کی بینائی چلی گئی اور کہا، بیٹا تیرے بعد دنیا نہیں، کچھ نہیں ہے دنیا میں، بیٹا تیرے بعد میری آنکھ کی بینائی چلی گئی۔ واہ اکبر،